Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 16 July, 2023. Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, the great chapter on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in preparation to worship our Lord, SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing, worship the Lord, the right way, by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is an article by Hal Lindsey. It's entitled, If, Then, and Grace. In math class, we learned about if-then statements. Don't worry, this is not about math. But let me illustrate it with one simple equation. A plus A equals B. In that equation, if A is 1, then B is 2 because 1 plus 1 equals 2. Now that's how we all learned, especially our age, math, 1 plus 1 was 2. But that was before computers came along, and base 10, 1 plus 1 is 2, but with computer math, there's base 2 and 1 plus 1 is 10. And that goofs it up. The concept is important because it's not just about math. It's how we think. And it's how we think because it is how the world works. If it rains today, then I won't need to turn on the sprinkler. If I don't study for the test, then I will flunk the test. Most people see their entire lives in terms of if, then. If I work hard and play by the rules, then I will succeed. If I am lazy and careless, then I will fail. That's how the universe works. If, then. We drum it into our children from early in life. We use it as motivation in our own lives to do honorable things and eschew evil. Or we use it in a negative way. Some people go by the mantra, if it feels good, then do it. They look only at the immediate feeling of pleasure they get from an action instead of the long-term consequences. The Bible teaches a profound if-then relationship between sin and death. It is first referenced in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, which says, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you shall surely die." Now in the Hebrew, it literally says, dying, you will die. At the moment that Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he died spiritually, instantly. Dying, spiritual death, you will die, physical death. Romans 3:23 shows that we're all in that category. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God is the absolute righteousness of God. For anyone to live with God forever in heaven, you have to be as good as God is, you have to have the righteousness of God, and you have to have the life of God, eternal life. Both the gift of eternal life and God's imputed righteousness come one way, and that one way is through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Romans 6:23 also links the sin nature to death and then brings something else into the picture. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is the compensation paid by the sin nature is death, spiritual death, resulting in the second death, the lake of fire. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. With that verse, we see something amazing added to the if sin, then death pattern. And that is the grace of God. Everything is working in the natural manner. Sin, the sin nature, results in spiritual death. All have an old sin nature and spiritual death. All are headed toward death, the second death, the lake of fire. It seems inevitable. We've fallen out of the plane and the natural order of things says we will die. As we fall downward, the ground seems to rush upward. And then God enters the scene. And he offers something better than a parachute. He gives us his hand. We can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the grace gift of eternal life. Or We can choose not to believe in Jesus Christ and die, colliding with the unyielding ground below. The wages of sin, the compensation paid by the sin nature, is death, spiritual death, resulting in the second death, the lake of fire. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We cannot be good enough on our own. We cannot earn what only Jesus could earn. Romans 11, verse 6 gives us this beautiful if-then statement. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. When he saved you, God intervened in the deadly if-then progression. But that's not the only area where he makes such interventions. His grace enters our lives in countless ways. He intervenes in ways we never imagined. And he also intervenes in response to prayer. We don't bother him when we pray. In fact, he wants us to pray. And more than that, he instructs us how to pray. And that is grace. In 1772, John Newton spoke for all who walk in God's grace when he wrote, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." The grace of God. The grace of God is the plan of God. Grace always emphasizes who and what God is, not who and what we are. Grace reveals who and what God is, the plan of God, the will of God for our lives. God's plan is a plan of grace for the whole human race. God the Father is the one who designed the plan of salvation. And we call that plan of salvation Operation Grace because it totally depends on who and what God is. In Operation Grace, God the Father loved the world so much that he gave his uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. In God's, the Father's, amazing grace, he sent his eternal Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas. His mission was to go to a cross. And while the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world, poured them out on Jesus Christ, and then judged them in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. And therefore, now anyone, any place, anywhere, through simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, can receive the gift of eternal life and God's imputed righteousness. The plan of salvation is grace. God the Father planned it. God the Son executed it on the cross. God the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. It's grace all the way. God's plan of salvation is grace. God's plan for mankind is grace. So, we are now studying in Sunday morning, Romans chapter 6. And in Romans chapter 6, we are seeing the fantastic grace and power of the living and true God. And we see it in Romans 6 in the great chapter on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we have studied the first paragraph of the baptism of the Spirit in Romans 6. Romans 6, verses 1 through 4, we have one verse yet to go. And then the next paragraph is Romans 6, 6 through 8. We have the implications of positional truth. So Romans 6, the great chapter on the baptism of the Spirit. Now, before we get into the corrected translation, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, the Apostle Paul writes, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. Now, Paul says, one Lord. There's only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. That one Savior, one faith. There's only one way of salvation, and that is faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that salvation is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And one baptism, and that one baptism is not water baptism. That one baptism is the baptism of the Spirit, the result of faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The result of faith in Jesus Christ is that God the Holy Spirit takes you and identifies you with Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, identification with Christ in his death and burial, and current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session, seated now at the right hand of God the Father. One baptism, not water baptism. You do not have to have water baptism to be saved. It is simply, salvation is simply by faith in Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, there were two criminals who were executed along each side of him. One of those criminals placed his faith in Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to that person, today you will be with me in paradise. Now he's on a cross. He's nailed to a cross. He's crucified. He can't do anything. He couldn't do one work. All he could do was believe in Jesus Christ. He couldn't be baptized. He was not baptized. They did not pick up the cross and dip it in the Sea of Galilee. All he could do was believe in Jesus Christ. The issue for eternal salvation is faith. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So you do not have to have water baptism for salvation. Now, once you place your faith in Christ, the result of that is the baptism of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit enters you, identifies you with the death and burial of Jesus Christ, retroactive positional truth, identifies you with the resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ, current positional truth. So one Lord, Jesus Christ, one faith, the way of salvation is by grace through faith in Christ, and one baptism, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And nowhere in the Word of God is that described and taught more clearly than Romans chapter 6, and that's what we're studying. So far we have exegeted the first four verses, and they sound like this so far. Therefore, what are we to say, or what are we to conclude? Are we to continue in the sphere of the sin nature for the purpose that the grace of God might increase? Meganoita, emphatically not. We who have died to the sin nature, that's retroactive positional truth, the baptism of the Spirit, how can we live by the power of the sin nature any longer? Verse 3, or are you ignorant? Don't you know? And the sad thing was, many of them did not know. Or are you ignorant? Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, the baptism of the Spirit, have been baptized into his death. Retroactive positional truth. Verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of baptism, the baptism of the Spirit, into death. Retroactive positional truth. For the purpose that, just as Christ was raised out from the dead ones, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, by means of the glory of the Father, glory here refers specifically to the omnipotence of God the Father, so also we, royal family of God, might live in newness of life. Now that the last half of verse 4 is very, very important. For the purpose that just as Christ was resurrected from the dead by the omnipotence of the Father, so also we might live in newness of life. We have a conjunction hina that introduces the purpose for our identification with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth. And the purpose is to set us free. Free from slavery to the old sin nature as the ruler of human life. Free from slavery to Satan as the ruler of the world. The purpose is to give us the spiritual freedom through current positional truth, identification with Christ in his resurrection, ascension, and session, our union with Jesus Christ. The purpose is to have the spiritual freedom in union with Christ to have newness of life. Positional freedom in union with Christ, experiential freedom to live the unique spiritual life by the grace and the power of God. The power of the Spirit of God, the power of metabolized doctrine in our hearts. Jesus Christ was raised out from the dead ones by means of the glory, the omnipotence of God the Father. So also we should walk in newness of life. We should live the unique spiritual life of the church age by the power of God. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the power of the Father and the Spirit, is the power that has been given to us so that we can walk in newness of life. And that newness of life is the unique spiritual life of the church age. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life. A supernatural way of life that demands supernatural power for its execution, and that is the power of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. This is the only dispensation in all of human history where every single believer is indwelt by God the Holy Spirit so that we can be filled with the Spirit. In the Old Testament times, there was no indwelling of the Spirit. There was no filling of the Spirit. All there was endowment of the Spirit to a few believers. And you can count on your fingers and toes the number of Old Testament saints that had the endowment of the Spirit. It was given to them to carry out a specific task. But we live in the great dispensation of the church age. For the first time in all of human history, every single believer is indwelt. The universal indwelling of the Spirit. That universal indwelling of the Spirit serves as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit, and that's the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age and to walk in newness of life. Now, the word to walk there in the Greek is peripateo. Looks like that in the Greek. That's P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E, long O. Peripateo. Now, literally, peripateo means to walk around or to go about. That's point one. Point two, figuratively, peripateo means the walk of life. Or you can translate it to live or to conduct oneself. The walk of life, to live, to conduct oneself. Three, the state in which one lives or ought to live is designated by the preposition en, which means in. And then, point four, we, royal family of God, we should live in newness of life as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. So point four, we, royal family of God, church-age saints, we should live in newness of life as a result of the baptism of the Spirit, both retroactive and current positional truth. And then we have kainote zoes. Kainote zoes. That's K-A-I-N-O-T, long E-S, Z, long O, long E-S. Kainotes zoes. Kainotes zoes. Kainotes zoes means newness of life. Now what is that? One. Newness of life means we are no longer in slavery. No longer slave to the sin nature as the ruler of human life. No longer slave to Satan as the ruler of this world. Newness of life means we have spiritual freedom. Positional freedom in union with Christ. And experiential freedom to live the unique spiritual life of the church age and glorify God. Newness of life means that through retroactive and current positional truth, we are divorced from the sin nature and married to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is now our authority. He is the head, we are the body. The baptism of the Spirit in union with Christ means now the Lord Jesus Christ is the head. He is our authority, and we are His body. And that means we should live in newness of life. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and this is described in a passage on marriage. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 22, and we have the wives first. Wives, submit to your husbands. Now the word submit there is the Greek word hupotasso. H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S, long O. Hupotasso, it's a military word. It means to be subordinate. To be subordinate. Wives, keep on being subordinate to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. In marriage, the husband is the head of the wife. He is the authority in the marriage. The husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church universal. Jesus Christ is the head. Jesus Christ is the authority of the church universal, the royal family of God. And how is it the church called? His body. So Christ is the head of the church, His body. So again, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head, the authority of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. Now the church is to hupotasso, to be subordinate to Christ. Just as the church is subordinate to Christ, so also wives should hupotasso, be subordinate to their husbands in everything. Well, then the husbands are brought up next. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. How did he give himself up for her? The Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. He willingly went to the cross. He willingly received the sins of the whole world. And he willingly took the judgment of those sins. He loved us when we were spiritually dead, totally depraved, no damn good. He loved us when we were at our worst. And that is the impersonal love for all that the Lord Jesus Christ had for every member of the human race. Impersonal love for all. And that is how the husbands are commanded to love their wives. Husbands, love your wives when they are at their worst. And the only way you can do that is to have impersonal love for all. That is, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. The ultimate objective is to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, have personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, the two great motivational virtues that motivate impersonal love for all. Impersonal love for all is unconditional. Impersonal love for all is for people who are at their worst. Here, in this context, it is husbands loving your wives when they are at their worst, with impersonal love for all. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So, the baptism of the Spirit and union with Christ means now the Lord Jesus Christ is the head, he is our authority, and we are his body. And that means newness of life. God takes away the old through retroactive positional truth, and he substitutes the new through current positional truth. Current positional truth is identification with Christ as he is seated at the right hand of the Father in his resurrection, ascension, and session. Retroactive positional truth breaks the power of the sin nature. But current positional truth provides the potential of newness of life, living the unique spiritual life of the church age. The royal family of God is superior to all other believers of all time, virtue of the baptism of the Spirit and union with Jesus Christ. Current positional truth provides the basis for being a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5, 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Which says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, how do you get in Christ? That's the baptism of the Spirit. That's the result of faith in Jesus Christ. If any man is in Christ as a result of faith in Jesus Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. So, current positional truth provides the basis for being a new creation in Christ and having a new life, a unique spiritual life. This newness of life, this unique spiritual life, is a supernatural way of life. and therefore demands supernatural power for its execution. And that supernatural power is the power of the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being filled with the Spirit, empowered by God the Holy Spirit in your life. Galatians 5:16. Walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. So the supernatural power is the power of the Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God in your heart. Now that brings us to verse 5, the last verse in the first paragraph. Romans 6, verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. This is a really unique way that God the Holy Spirit had Paul communicate retroactive positional truth. We have the post-positive conjunction gar plus the conditional particle ae with the perfect passive indicative of genomai plus the nominative plural masculine of sum futas plus the dative singular of hamoioma with the definite article plus the genitive singular of thanatos with the definite article and the genitive singular of autos. The post-positive conjunction gar. G-A-R. Gar. Gar is an explanatory gar. And the explanatory gar is used to explain retroactive and current positional truth in more detail. And it's correctly translated for instance, we'll translate it for. And then the conditional particle A plus the indicative of genomai. Now A plus the indicative introduces a first class condition. For if we have been intimately united to the likeness of his death, first class condition, and we have, through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth. And then we have a conditional sentence here. AE introduces a conditional sentence. A conditional sentence has two parts. It has a prothesis. Perhaps you don't know how to spell that. That's prothesis. The prothesis is the if clause. So let's see, it goes with what Hal Lindsey, if then. This is if then here. If clause, that's, and then the apodosis, apodosis. So the prothesis, apodosis, apodosis. That is the then clause. So if prothesis, then conclusion. The prothesis and the conditional sentence presents the premise of retroactive positional truth, and the apodosis is in the conditional sentence presents the conclusion, current positional truth. And then we have the verb genomai. G-I-N-O-M-A-I, genomai. Couple of things, points on genomai. One, it means to come to be or to become. To come to be, to become. Two, it means to become something that you were not before. It means to become something that you were not before. Three, as a result of the baptism of the Spirit, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, the believer becomes something he was not before. He becomes a new creation. He becomes royal family of God, spiritual aristocracy. He becomes the church universal. He becomes the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ on earth. We will be the bride of Christ in heaven. So as a result of the baptism of the Spirit at the moment of faith in Christ, the believer becomes something he was not before. A new creation, royal family of God, spiritual aristocracy, church universal, body of Christ. Four, as a result of retroactive and current positional truth, being identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, the believer becomes a new spiritual species. As a result of retroactive and current positional truth, the baptism of the Spirit, being identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, the believer becomes a new spiritual species. The perfect tense of genomai is the intensive perfect. And in the intensive perfect, the emphasis is placed on the existing results of a past action or on a present state or condition resulting from a past action. And it can often be translated by an English present. The passive voice is the voice of grace. The believer, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, receives the action of being intimately united with Christ in his death through retroactive positional truth. The indicative mood goes along with the conjunction AE to introduce this first-class condition. So it says so far in corrected translation, for if we have become, and then this very unusual word that God the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul use, sum futas. S-U-M-P-H-U-T-O-S. Sum futas. Now, sum futas is a hapax legomena. This is the only time this word is found in the New Testament scriptures, and very likely is a word that the Apostle Paul and his genius coined. So a couple of points. One, sum futas is a compound word made up of sum, which is with, and the verb futeo, which means to plant. Soon, with, and futeo, to plant. Two. So literally, it means to be planted together with something or someone. And here it's someone. It means to grow together with something or someone. Point three. Figuratively, it means to be intimately united with someone or something. And here it's intimately united with the Lord Jesus Christ. Four. It is a word used by the Apostle Paul to describe the baptism of the Spirit and specifically retroactive positional truth. It is a word used by the Apostle Paul to describe the baptism of the Spirit and specifically retroactive positional truth. Point five, at salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the believer is intimately united with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and burial. At salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the believer is intimately united with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death and burial. So the corrected translation says so far, for if we have become intimately united with him. And then we have homoioma. Looks like that in the Greek, H-O-M-O-I, long O-M-A, homoioma, and that means likeness, and the dative case is the dative of sphere, in the likeness, to thanatou autou, of his death. For if we have become intimately united with him in the likeness of his death, first class condition, and we have, through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth. You got that? For if we have become intimately united with him in the likeness of his death, first class condition, and we have, through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, now the apodosis, the then clause, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. This is the conjunction Allah plus Chi plus the future passive indicative of the to be verb Ami plus the genitive singular of Anastasis with a definite article. Now, many, many times Allah is an adversative conjunction. In fact, the strongest adversative conjunction and is correctly translated. But, however, that is not how it is used in Romans 6, verse 5. In Romans 6, 5, Allah introduces the apodosis, the then clause of a first-class condition. And Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 38, says that in the apodosis, the then clause of a conditional sentence, Allah is very emphatic, very intensive, and should be translated certainly. And that's how we are going to translate it. Certainly. And then the to be verb a me plus the adjunctive use of chi also. Certainly we shall also be. Certainly we shall also be. And the future tense of the to-be verb ami is a nomic future introducing a timeless axiom of Scripture. And this is the axiom. At salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, the believer is not only intimately united with Jesus Christ in his death. At salvation, faith in Christ, the believer is not only intimately united with Christ in his death, but he will also be intimately united with Christ in his resurrection. Current positional truth. He will also be intimately united with Christ in his resurrection. Current positional truth. The passive voice is the voice of grace. He receives the action of being intimately united with Jesus Christ in his resurrection through the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth. The indicative mood is declarative, dogmatic truth, absolute truth of the Word of God. And then we have an ellipsis. This is a super ellipsis because the Apostle Paul is so excited about the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit and all it means to us as royal family of God in the church age, that he has left out sumphutoi to homoiomati. It's been left out by ellipsis. But it absolutely belongs there, and so the corrected translation is, certainly we shall also be intimately united with him in the likeness of his resurrection through the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth. Now there's only one word we left out, and that is Anastasis, the word for resurrection. But we're going to take a break, and you can all go outside and cool down outside, and then come back for part two, and we'll take a look at Anastasis. The resurrection. Certainly we shall also be intimately united with him in the likeness of his resurrection through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth.